Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
On today's Pardon My Take, Zion Williamson blows through his shoe. What's going to happen to Duke? What's going to happen to Hank and his cat? We also have an awesome interview with comedian Pete Holmes, who joins the show. He has he's the star of the hit show Crashing on HBO. We do a little roast at the end of the show, which were very funny, and an Embrace Debate. Huge show for you. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by our YouTube channel. Go download or subscribe, actually, right now to our YouTube channel. We have hit 24,000?
25,000.
Keep subscribing. We've got new stuff coming every day. Today is Friday, February 22nd. I'm going to do something right now.
Love you, Hank.
PFT, I did not discuss this with you, but out of the kindness of our heart, Hank, PFT and I are going to give you 1 year's supply food for your cat, LeBron Lockwood.
Credit to us.
Credit to us. So
you know what? LeBron is actually a great name for a cat. Like, all jokes aside, a cat named LeBron, you can't hate that cat. Right, Hank?
No, not at all. LeBron Lockwood would be a hilarious name. Unfortunately, there's no chance I'm going to get it.
Okay, so let's back up. So Zion Williamson, the big news, obviously, Zion Williamson went out of the Duke-UNC game, busted through his Nikes. Big hubbub about that, which we will get to. It is unclear how severe his injury was. The question now turns, will Zion sit out for the rest of the season? Because he is definitely going to be the number one pick. He's going to make so much money with his new shoe deal. Why risk injury and potentially, you know, whatever may happen in the rest of the season, why not just sit out, let Duke lose in the tournament, let Hank get a cat, and we can all be happier?
No, that's correct. It's not a question anymore of whether or not Zion will sit out. It's now how long will Zion sit out for? Is he going to sit out multiple years into his NBA deal until he can get to that second contract and sign with a team of his choosing and get that supermax? So I think right now, yeah, Zion is playing it safe. They say he's day-to-day, but like in reality, we're all day-to-day.
Yep.
You know, I might wake up tomorrow and not be able to walk anymore. I might have to take a poop and I sit on the toilet too long and my legs go to sleep and I trip over my own feet and hit my head on the ground. So we're all day to day in this life. I think that Zion, especially for a young man, an outstanding young man who has so much to gain, there's really no point in him playing another second of basketball this year.
And that's a good point, PFT, and I'm going to go a little bit further. Why should any guys who are getting drafted in the NBA from Duke play any further? Because if Zion's going to sit out, what's the point, right? You're probably not going to win the title now, so maybe have Cam Reddish sit out. Maybe have R.J. Barrett sit out. R.J. Barrett actually hurt his own draft stock by even playing at Duke this year. He was going to be the number one pick. He plays at Duke, and then Zion's better. And so he actually proves that you should never play college basketball for Duke, mind you, for Duke. And maybe just fold the whole Duke program and let everyone else just go to the NBA.
I agree. I think that what we'll end up with here in the finals is going to be Kentucky versus Duke, or probably in the Elite Eight, Kentucky versus Duke, and it's just Alex O'Connell against Brad Calipari because they're all sitting out for the rest of the year waiting for the NBA draft. Hank, one of my favorite things recently about Hank is when he tweets about how AOC is going to save him and the clapbacks that you get from that, that's always a real treat for us.
Yeah, people get fired up. They don't understand that I'm tweeting at 8 o'clock on a random Tuesday night. They're like, fuck you. They get all politics Twitter on me. I don't even know what they're talking about.
AOC, it's a hot topic. So, Hank, we're sitting here right now, Zion, we don't know. They say 1 to 2 weeks, but the discussion, basically the debate has raged on in the sports media world. Should he sit out for the rest of the season, which I'll give a real take on, but I want to hear what you have to think right now.
Personally, there's a couple things. The first one, I actually agree with Zion not playing. If you're the number one, guaranteed number one draft pick, everyone's seen what he can do. He's proven himself. There's nothing left to prove, really, to be the number one draft pick. So it's different than, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, who, are still, if they play well, that affects their draft stock.
He did have something to prove. People who are doing the revisionist history being why did Zion even play one game for Duke? That's crazy to me because he was dunking on a bunch of, short 5'8 white dudes in high school. And you need to know that if he can play with the step up in competition, and he proved it, with obviously insane grades. He's the best player in the country right now.
And NBA players, analysts alike, they're all in agreement that he's the guy for the
NBA.
He's
the guy.
So he's the future. So there's no reason for him to keep playing. I'm fine with that. I almost agree with it. It's if he plays, that'll be great. If he doesn't play, this is where I was getting so much enjoyment from these hilarious cat gifs that people keep tweeting me every time I say anything. It's
very
just,
unfair.
Meow, 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 meow. So funny. You guys are hilarious. Very original.
Mad.
No,
not mad.
Yeah.
Duke has won national championships with way worse talent. And without, obviously they lost last night. When you lose your best player, that shell shocks a team. It's tough to come back from right away. But Coach K is the best coach in college basketball. He's going to now have 2 months to get this team with the number two and number three recruit in the nation. Alex O'Connell, top five player in the nation, in my opinion.
AOC.
I would say, AOC, yeah. Got the Green New Deal coming out. That's going to be big for everybody.
So
Roy Williams, I would say, is a better coach than Coach K, by the way.
Really?
That's a terrible take.
What about Roy Williams? His track record
jackets.
Just dresses better. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, if you'll listen to me, I'm saying his jackets. That's the only reason that I'm giving you right now, Hank. I think that he's been pushed to the next level by Mack Brown, who came into Chapel Hill trying to one-up him in the Argyle department. And Roy Williams said, no, boy, not on my watch. I'm Roy Williams. I'm going to be dadgum good dresser.
Dadgummit.
So I really like Roy Williams. But, yes, you're right. Okay. So my only qualm that I have with what you just said, Hank, was the fact that you're trying to just Patriots your way into Duke winning the national championship because you happen to be correct about, Josh Gordon and his misstep earlier this year and the last play against the Dolphins being the start of the DVD. You're saying that, you know what, losing Zion, this is actually going to be a good thing for the Duke
team. And then getting blown out by your
arch
nemesis at home. You don't think that Coach K is going to be using that as motivation for the rest of the year? You guys don't have Zion. You can't win. You don't have Zion. You can't win.
Duke's players probably won't even get to wear any of their shirts or shorts for the next week.
Probably not. He's going to get them fired up.
Yeah.
It's the same. Well, you failed. For some reason, you failed to see it with the Patriots. It's the same thing, though. They have the better coach. They have time. And they have the talent to win. And I'm not worried. There's no – everyone's acting they lost a player in February. The season's over. That's not the case whatsoever.
Yeah.
He just happens to be the best player in the country.
That's true. So, without obviously, in a world where Zion Williamson doesn't exist, imagine that. Jay-Z's not coming to games in February. Barack Obama's not sitting courtside. LeBron's not coming to games. But they would still, this team without Zion Williamson, still a top 10 team. They'd be contending. They'd probably have a similar record. There would still be I would still feel confident about them doing performing well in the tournament. So, like, just because they lost Zion Williamson, I'm not going to be like, oh, right, fuck, so I have to get a cat.
Not worried.
I think Obama would be more likely to be there without a Zionist presence. That's just my take.
Ooh. All right. So Zion, like I said, it all became the big topic, like, should Zion sit out? It's funny, too, because then everyone starts doing the one-and-done thing, which is stupid. I think the one-and-done thing is going to be done soon. Boogie Cousins, like, ripped it, saying college is bullshit, no need for college, and which is kind of weird because people have all their anger for NCAA, but the NBA is what created the one-and-done rule. But that's totally aside. I think Zion should sit and then come back for the tournament and, in the words of Billy McFarland, just fuck it, let's be legends. Because there is something to be said for the NCAA tournament, for winning a national title. Like, you know, it might even be the peak of your career, Carmelo Anthony. So it's one of those things where...
Dude, he won 3 Olympics.
Yeah, it's not
the greatest Olympian ever.
Four. So it's not the same as like a random Citrus Bowl or something where a bunch of guys sit out for the draft. This is still like, you know, you're playing in the tournament. It means something culturally. It means something for legacy, all that stuff. And it means something just as an inner competitor, which I think Zion has. So I think that would be the move. But I'd also have no problem. I have no problem with whatever Zion does because it's his fucking life.
I think Zion wants to play. I could see a situation where Coach K is the one that's like, you probably shouldn't play. And Zion's going to be like, I want to play. And
oh,
then he plays
shut
him.
Up. Shut up. Yeah.
No,
That's not true.
He's going to, I'm saying he, the tournament. Like, he's going
to
want
to
play.
He had to be convinced into
Coach
letting
Luol
Deng.
In 2 days.
He had to be talked into letting Luol Deng go to the NBA so that he could send millions of dollars back home to, like, starving communities. Like, I don't think that Coach K is going to be like, you know what? Tell you what, Zion. This one's on the house. You go ahead. You've done enough for me.
So,
I don't think that's going to happen. So I think he'll probably support him and he'll
be
vocal.
I'm saying, like, if Zion's camp is going to be like, we want to take away the risk of getting hurt before playing in the NBA, and Coach K is going to be like, we'll take away the risk of playing in the regular season, and then you play in the tournament. That's what I was getting.
I actually think that's the best. That would be the best course of action, because I do think March Madness still means something. But the other thing that happened, we had a few things. So it was like one of those nights where 33 seconds of the game, he blows through his shoe, and Twitter erupted. No more so than our friend, well, not really our friend, Darren Revelle going.
A person we know.
A person we know going insane on Twitter, and he was on fire. He was absolutely on fire, talking about how much people paid to see Zion play 33 seconds, talking about Nike's stock going down, talking about how bad of a look this is for Nike, the Paul Georges, which I play ball in, so it could have been me, all these tweets, and then people were roasting him. So it was basically a roast of Hank and Darren Revelle last night.
Yeah, this was Darren Revelle's Super Bowl. I would actually say that, like, if you're Darren Revelle, you should be able to get insurance like Zion has. You should get insurance for every single year, just in case a player doesn't break an expensive piece of Nike equipment on national television, because that did so much for Darren's personal draft stock last night. Like, his engagement rate was through the roof. It was nuts. Like, him talking about Nike stock going down the next day, like, thoughts and prayers to them. It was a clinic.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to the huge corporation that might have slight dip at 9 a.m. on Thursday.
Well, first of all, let me say that buying a pair of Paul George sneakers and then expecting your knee to not explode, that's like buying firecrackers from JPP, right? Like, if you want a good knee, then, I don't know, maybe switch to some Kobe's.
Ooh.
Maybe switch to some LeBron's.
Kobe's,
I don't know.
Kobe's come with the surgery he got in Germany that still is suspect. The best
the platelets,
tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best tweet by far was Revelle saying 39 number of days Duke students camped out in Kville to get Duke UNC tickets. 33 number of seconds Zion Williamson played in the game.
Whoa. as if they don't do that every year.
Right. Like, what are you fucking talking about, dude? So, Hank, I want to just say, as someone who also got bullied online last night, you and Revelle are kind of the same guy now.
That's not true at all. But I do, I can relate to Revelle. Like, he, you know, he was mad that people, like, the water cooler joke has been beaten into the ground. Stoolies have kind of attacked his social media. And, like, I can relate. last night I was just trying to send out my thoughts, and I couldn't even collect my thoughts because I was getting overflown in my mentions. Like, you guys have destroyed my entire Twitter. Yeah.
Hold on. No, by the way, we just
listen.
Need to
enough
take
with
a...
the targeted harassment towards Hank. Yeah. Please, hey, you guys, seriously, it's not fun anymore.
It's not funny.
Stop.
Honestly, it's not funny. And by the way, that we should just note that Darren Revelle can come on this podcast if he sends a video to Hank appealing his suspension of Pardon My Take. He has to appeal directly to Hank in a video form. But we should take a step back and just realize how ridiculous this whole thing is, that we created this stupid...
Did you see the ratio on my tweets?
Stupid. Yeah, it was insane. You were getting ratio left and right. Stupid, insane bet about a cat. And not 2 days later, Zion Williamson pulls out his shoe. Like, it hurts his knee. This is the dumbest luck we have ever had on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, you're talking about a podcast that had Tiger Woods like accidentally call back into it
one time.
And Michael Jordan pick up a phone call on it.
This week.
I think that this is definitely more lucky than any of those things. But yeah, it was like a perfect storm of shit. And you know what it made me really want? Like, okay, first I started to think that we should start a Part of My Take sports business analyst account where we do like Darren Revelle style takes on everything. But what I really want, I think, is a Revelle throughout history Twitter account.
Ooh,
so like,
good.
what would Revelle tweet the night after the Titanic sank?
Yeah,
like, as bleak as times may be, this is going to make $2 billion for Paramount Pictures one day.
Yeah, the Hindenburg,
the newspaper sales, off the charts.
Yeah, the Hindenburg blows up. Blimp stock is going to be going down. Check your stock market tomorrow morning. I wouldn't be shocked if Nazi blimps are going down.
I want to see how much box seats cost for my American cousin and a stovepipe hat. How much was a stovepipe hat that John Wilkes Booth shot a bullet through?
Yes.
I want to know those facts.
Oh, man. That would be – we should – someone's going to create it. So someone do the work for us. Two other things I wanted to wrap up before we get to our interview. We have Dickie V chiming in, which we talked about last podcast, that I am officially on – I'm worried about Dickie V watch. And today didn't help. Because I think someone told him that Zion's sitting out the rest of the year, which is not the case, because he went on an absolute spree about millennials and how stupid everyone is. And then he had this one. He tried to say so, but he typed it SP. I am SP fed up with those that preach to be selfish, quit, count the cash. Hey, no problem if that is the goal. Then just do not put a college uniform on. This me mentality sucks. All caps, which in the Dickie V world, that's a swear word. He just swore on my feed, so I'm going to have to block him on Twitter.
Okay, yeah, that's tough. That he needs to realize that there are kids out there that read his tweets. That's number one. But I do think that this is as alive as I've seen Dickie V in the last couple years.
True,
right?
True.
So, like, at least he's animated about something. At least he's passionate about something. Like, he could have been ranting this to his waitress at Hooters down in Tampa, but instead he's got, like, he feels the need. What?
He doesn't go to Hooters. He goes to every meal with the Schwab and his wife, and they go to the same. I've actually like know the place very well because of his Periscopes.
A national advertisement campaign for Hooters,
right? But he doesn't eat there. He eats at only the finest establishments. Not that Hooters.
Capital
isn't.
O Hooters.
Yeah. And then finally, shout out to our friend, recurring guest Carlos Boozer, who gave thoughts and prayers to Zion National Parks last night, which was such a fucking – that's such a perfect Carlos Boozer tweet. Like, he is – that is Carlos Boozer. I'm going to hop on Twitter. I'm going to send out some love for my Duke brother. Whoops, it's actually a national park in Utah.
Yeah, that was pretty great. All-time mix-up. But then I think I saw the park system kind of played back into it now that they're not on furlough anymore. They were like, yeah, you know, it's been a tough winter. We've had more snowfall than usual, but – you know, we're looking to get back on the right track. Thanks, Carlos.
Yeah, so all day it's been just the same. Like, Zion has basically lit a fire in the sports world where everyone has to talk about the NCAA. We've said this before on the podcast, but it's crazy to me. We're not smart enough to figure out the NCAA not being able to pay players, but someone has to be smart enough because every single time this discussion comes up, everyone's like, well, it's too hard of a problem to figure out. It's like, how do we just keep doing that? How can not, like, fucking Nate Silver, figure it out, dude. Like, Malcolm Gladwell,
I've got a very easy solution to this. It probably won't work, but it's easy. And that's just, like, their Venmos are always open. Their Cash App accounts are always open.
Correct.
Always public. And then just anybody that watches them that wants to give them money, if they do an awesome dunk in a game, if they tear through a shoe and get Darren Revell on a fucking heater on Twitter and it makes everybody's night so much better and you want to kick the guy a little bit of money, it's just like tipping your server,
yeah,
or your bartender at a restaurant. Like, I would, last night watching that game, if I knew what Zion's Venmo account or Cash App account was, I would probably send him $20. So just like open it up to the general public.
The other one that I just never understand is why can't they just figure out a way that you can go to the NBA straight out of high school, but if you're not a lottery pick, you keep all your eligibility. And the team that drafts you keeps your rights. And then doesn't that fix a lot of the stuff? Like, a guy can basically, if they get the wrong information, if they get told by the wrong people that they're going to be a lottery pick and they end up being the 28th pick in the draft, the team, the Milwaukee Bucks pick them. And then they're like, you know what? We don't have a spot for you right now. Go play college basketball. In a year, we still own your rights, and you can come back and play.
That's very complicated to me.
Yeah, that's too complicated.
I don't know. We're starting to get into, like, the different rules of the cat ownership bet, and that's already over my head. If I can't keep track of whether or not Hank's getting a cat or not, I can't keep track of a lottery pick.
Yes, you are. He's not worried. Official statement from Hank's camp, he is not worried.
I'm actually more excited. Like, it makes it more fun to root for. It's going to be more fun drinking your tears. Like, you guys are going to be imagine how miserable you were already going to be when they win the national championship by 20. Like, now that this happens and you guys got the excitement of me getting the cat, like, it's going to be so much worse for you.
Okay.
And
that's fine. But you know what? Either way, everyone who listens to this podcast wins, because that's kind of what these bets are, like the poop bet, the pinky bet, this bet. It's now not that Duke wasn't appointment television before, but now things like this become even more because Hank is going to have to get a cat. And that's like 18, 20 years. You know what's going to be sad, PFT, I thought about? Like, the day that Hank's cat dies in 20 years, it will be God. Like we'll have to have a huge memorial service.
Big funeral.
For LeBron Lockwood, the part of my take cat. Cat. Don't do
you
that.
Know,
why? Don't do that.
But you know what the worst part about a cat funeral is?
A miserable life dying in a kennel instead of like taking it in and giving some love for a few years? You don't want me to do that?
No. Hank, okay. No, I do want you to kind of get an old cat because they will be much, much messier and smellier.
Mm-hmm.
But like a cat funeral, you don't realize you have to have 9 coffins or you have to do it 9 times because they all 9 lives are expired. I just want to make one addendum to what you said earlier, Big Cat. You did not consult me about buying the cat food, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I thought it was the least we could do.
That's very sweet, and I agree that we should do it. I just want one stipulation. It's wet cat food.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
Not the dry stuff. So we're just getting you a lot of cans of cat food.
Yeah. You know what? I'll go one further, PFT. We're going to make sure this cat's really taken care of. We're going to just buy Hank 365 tuna cans.
Okay.
Deal.
I'm in.
Deal. There you go, Hank.
Thanks.
That's pretty nice. All right, let's get to our interview. We got Pete Holmes, comedian Pete Holmes. He's the star of the HBO show Crashing. Very, very funny guy. We had him in studio a couple weeks ago and had a really good interview with him.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, here he is, Pete Holmes. We now welcome on a very, very funny man. He is a funny man. He's a comedian. You're going to tell us some jokes, right?
No.
Make me laugh.
So it's Pete Holmes. His series Crashing is out on Sunday, the new season, season 3. Very funny show. I've watched the first 2 seasons.
Thanks, man. And we just said you got the screener.
I have the screener.
So you're on the in.
So if anyone wants to buy the screener off me,
imagine
it
if
is
there
for
were
sale.
Sports screeners that you could watch a season of baseball before anyone else.
Well,
watch the Super Bowl before it comes out.
Yeah.
There's like a fat guy that stands up in front of you during a play. You're like, hey, this should shouldn't be on there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You could make the argument all sports are scripted. So, yeah, why not?
Are they scripted?
I mean,
yeah. Stay woke.
Tim Donaghy,
stay
the NBA.
Stay woke. You guys are
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, that's exactly
I feel
it.
Like it. We're in your basement.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
we're
that's
all in
kind of the vibe
school.
We like. We're talking about Alex Jones as info scores.
Yeah.
When you, everything is controlled by the Manning family and Chris Jenner.
Killing it in the suit.
All right, so Pete Holmes crashing. Check it out.
And I don't mean I won't tell jokes. I was just kind of going with it.
No, you got to tell us a joke.
A lot. Well,
funny man. Make me laugh.
Funny
You're
man.
Supposed to be funny, right?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go. I'm not going to say another word until you say
I don't
joke.
Mean this is a nightmare. I mean this is a literal nightmare.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This mismatched duo.
Start with your best material. Start with your worst material that you're working out.
Actually, that's
we'll judge it.
That's a good question.
Face.
What's the worst joke you've ever told?
I remember it. I went on stage. I thought it would make sense. I just go, my name is Pete. Some of you might recognize me. Some of you might be cognizing me for the first time. That's a terrible joke.
Oh, I get it. Yeah,
recognizing.
Yes.
You might recognize me.
Okay.
Maybe you're cognizing me for the first time.
Yeah,
and
that's
that was
a shitty joke.
That, I know. And that's before I started blazing the chronum. So what the fuck do you think I'm writing down now?
That joke's so bad, it actually is good because it makes you think, like, do I not get it? No,
yeah.
You get it. It's just bad.
I have one like that now. Where I go, the Woody doll in Toy Story 3, mm-hmm. when you pull his string, he goes, there's a snake in my boot. And I'm like, his boots are glued on.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
What a nightmare. Yes. He's got a snake in his glued-on boot. You judged it too soon, uh-huh. Chicago Cubs.
Well, all right, so wait. So, okay, hold
Don't
on.
Don't eat a bratwurst,
hold
you
on.
Fucking
Hold
judge.
On. This is actually perfect. We're going to save this for the end. We were going to save this for the end, but let's do it right now because we wanted to pitch you a show.
I yeah. love it.
Okay.
And I'm in.
You ready?
It's yeah.
called Sorry Not and Sorry.
Sorry Not and Sorry.
Okay. So
I get it. I think I get it.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it's similar to Crashing, that it's the life of a comedian, but the comedian is the opening act for Louis C.K. and Aziz Ansari trying to do an apology tour around America.
Sorry Not Unsorry?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think the title needs work.
Okay, but no,
okay,
no, yeah,
all right, no, yeah. let's workshop this.
Hey, I'm tapping the
improv. Yes, and
can you CK? I'm so no, sorry. I'm unsorry
and sorry, not sorry.
And
so
sorry.
You just move the and sorry to the front.
Yeah,
I'm so unsorry
and sorry, not and sorry. Can't you CK?
It's not the best Aziz Ansari. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you haven't.
Oh,
you haven't heard
brilliant.
About the show
Stroke
yet.
Genius, okay?
Yeah, yeah, tell
How
me.
About this. FUCK.
Mm. Yeah.
That works
I saw that tweeted.
Okay,
oh,
so
really?
The
yeah,
show
stole that?
Yeah. No, I'm no, absolutely not.
You accusing me
in
of stealing jokes?
Can I tell you this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you guys might enjoy this.
I don't even have
I
Twitter.
I feel like 9 times out of 10 when people are like, joke thief, I'm like, is the joke so fucking magical?
Right.
You
right.
just said F-U-C-K, and if you tweeted that, people would be like, you stole that
yep.
from this guy. I'm
yeah.
like, suck. Get the fuck out of my dick face. You
right.
know what I'm
Get
saying?
Get the fuck
yes.
out of my
you
dick face.
You think two human
that
beings.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I'm saying. That's
yeah.
the catchphrase of, yeah. of this podcast. I know.
Yes.
And I stole it on purpose. You know what I mean? People like Greg Fitzsimmons is a great comic. He's one of the writers on Crashing. And he was like, somebody was talking about how they stole my fountain bit. My bit about fountains. And I was like, do the bit.
Yeah.
In fact, don't do the bit. Is it this?
Yeah.
And he was like, it's kind of that. I'm like, yes.
We all have the same thought.
If yes. You get 10 comedians in a room, go write a joke about fountains, someone's going to go, that's how rich our country is. We throw money in water.
Right.
Yeah. That's just the angle.
Uh-huh. Right.
So everybody on the internet, this is a popular show. I'm happy to get this out there. Cool it on calling.
I agree.
On my last special, me and Nate Bargatze both have a bit about shaken baby syndrome. And just because it was the same Scott. Premise, they were like, you stole it.
Right.
Like, guys, Nate's a friend. Fuck off. Off.
Right.
We don't do that.
Right.
That's like suicide in our careers.
Is there a moment that someone actually has stolen something from you, though? Like, legit stolen.
That's interesting. I'm always very liberal. Even if some people sometimes text me, they're like, I'm in Cleveland and this guy did this bit. Look, it's your bit. And I'm like, kind of.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so basically.
You can have my material.
I can take your material. Yeah.
So you're,
this
so
is
you're,
great.
You're an easy mark
Buddy,
to run
if you,
over.
If yeah. you want my Woody from Toy Story 3 bit.
I'm using that one.
God bless you.
Cognizance, recog, get it?
Yeah. Oh my Jesus,
Damn.
If ever I've loved
Damn.
It.
Damn.
Okay.
Did you know I started in Chicago?
Yeah. And
you
were all over the
that.
Place. Yeah, I have your Wikipedia literally in front of me
Don't
right now.
Do
that's
that.
All the.
What
the,
is this?
Chico
no,
that's
and the toilet.
We do. Did you,
Welcome to WCRBBB, Chico and the toilet.
So you were born in March.
Which
Get out of here.
Am I the
this
toilet?
Supposed to be legit.
Yeah.
You're not the toilet.
Is that what you're trying to say?
No, come on.
Wait, did you Second City?
I got rejected from Second City.
Mm.
Denied.
I actually did a class once at Second City, and then I left at, like, the piss break halfway through the first
you
one.
You were out.
I paid for, like, 6 of them, And it was just too many. There were like kids that were 22, and I was maybe 28. I don't know.
Artie Lang, piss break.
Oh yeah. Well, so I got my Artie story for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So I got Artied. So in Crashing, Artie Lang is in Crashing, and it's we should go back up a little. Crashing is a semi-autobiographical story.
Semi-erotic.
Okay, yeah. Well, we got. I have another question about that. But
you're fun.
So Artie is in it. He's, you know, it's the life of a stand-up comedian trying to make it in New York City.
Yes.
And there's a scene where he just no-shows, like a couple,
right.
like very important
Artie,
engagements.
Because Artie is an addict, he actually was very helpful in writing that episode.
Yeah.
And if you believe it or not, me and Judd Apatow, who produces the show, we were like, Artie, how do you lie to people to steal away and do heroin? Not to be funny, to be real.
Right.
And he was like, I do this, I do this, I do this. And we wrote it into the episode. So, he was like a co-creator of that episode.
Yeah, so I watched, it was almost like the exact same time I was watching that episode that we were trying to get Artie on the podcast for something we were doing with Joe Buck. And I talked to Artie's people. I had the car, they had called him a car. We had everything set up.
Yeah.
Artie doesn't show.
Yeah.
Artie doesn't show. Yeah. Artie doesn't, then like maybe 8 hours later he texts and is just like, I'm so sorry. I yeah. slept through it. And I was like, well, I guess the Crashing is very true to form.
There. There's a lot of, you know, it's a disease. It really is. I'm not trying to be correct or polite. It's a fucking disease.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to get over it more than Artie. And you can feel that sincerity coming off of him. But it's got you. It gets mm-hmm. you by the, he says it's like breathing.
Right.
So he's like, say, if you say don't do heroin, he's like, that's like saying don't breathe.
Don't breathe, yeah.
And he's like, and I get this out as much as I can. Don't fuck with that shit. Don't
right.
fuck with opioids.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. it
yeah.
really gets you.
No, it is. Yeah. So
stick
so,
to meth.
So that's the whole totally yeah. So the whole
you could have said weed.
Yeah, no, weed.
Meth is okay.
Legalize it. Yeah. Legalize it.
PFT.
So the whole story.
Like it's got Sudafed.
You
Sudafed's
look like
medicine.
You're at the final table of the World Series of Poker.
Yeah, I should Why? Get the, I should get those dinosaur glasses. The one you remember that guy?
Yeah.
You always keep Fossil the glasses
man.
On.
Yeah, I do. I got a glaucoma thing going.
Do you really?
On. Yeah. So thank you not to make fun of it.
So I was gonna. I didn't realize. I guess I didn't.
No, actually, I'm just an asshole.
I don't think you're an asshole. I just want to see those beautiful green, blue Irish eyes.
I didn't get. I didn't put it all together that the Crashing was really your life because I was going to ask before you came in, what did you do to like practice being a guy who gets cucked?
Yeah.
But then that actually happened?
When Twitter people call me a cuck, I'm like, that's just literal.
Yeah, like, I didn't
right.
realize that.
You're a fucking cuck. I'm like, yeah, that's been true for a decade. My wife fucked
Shit.
Another big old dick.
Damn.
And
did
I
you live
can't
with the
argue
guy
with
after,
that.
Like you did in Crashing?
No, no, no.
Okay.
TV is so interesting because we had the guy on Crashing, very, very different style of guy. Than the real life guy.
That cucked you.
That cucked me. You couldn't
was
wait.
The real guy.
That's
probably he was the real
salty,
guy.
He was like a little Italian guy. He was kind of like, oh.
Did he have like hair and just jewelry?
He was. He looked.
Oh, no.
Not the jewelry thing. No, he wasn't like that. But he was like, he was what I'm not.
That's actually
he's like
better,
a very, I liked
right?
him.
Yeah, that's
I'm being
better.
Real. I like, it, you're right.
Yeah.
If she left me for another soft, doughy Lithuanian.
Doing Recognizance jokes.
Yeah,
so you're
exactly.
Like, what the fuck?
You made it better, Recognizance.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
That's exactly right. She went for like a man's man. And God bless her, and God bless, I mean that sincerely. But on the show, the guy that cucks me is like a hippie. His name is Leaf. He's played by George Basil.
Yep.
And he's just so fucking funny. You can't introduce that guy and then just be like, and then Pete did what you would do and never talk to him again. You gotta, and that's all Judd. He's like, they have to become
right.
friends.
And so you won, though, because you made a story out of it. And a really good show out of it.
That's interesting. It's you're so
you
sports.
Got the last
even
laugh.
In life,
uh-huh.
you're
you
like
did.
At but, the end when the buzzer went off, you were ahead.
Yeah, you were ahead.
When you're doing a show like that, is it more? Is it actually like therapeutic for you to get that all out in the open, or is it just like as comedians sometimes we just use laughs to like cover up?
You're at,
you know what's underneath.
I think you could do it either way, but it is therapeutic. We do these scenes with like. Completely lifted from my life, fights I've had with girlfriends, fights I've had with my parents, and we're redoing them. And you're in it, you're fighting, you're swearing, you're having this very surreal, almost like Black Mirror moment. And then someone goes, cut, and then you go like, oh, wow, it's like the most expensive therapy, and HBO is paying for it. It's right. fucking crazy.
You like so, how I tossed in that we, as in yeah. like we comedians?
Yeah,
I like
and you
it.
Just went right
Us
along
comedians.
With it. That made me feel
PFT,
really good.
Yeah. You yeah. hitting the stage. Have yeah. you done stand-up?
I have not done stand-up.
I bet you'd be great.
I don't know about that.
You're not into it?
I have a weak bladder. I'm like Jim Boeheim when I get under a spotlight. Yeah. I just, psst.
It's not for you, but you like doing this.
Yeah, I like doing this a lot because it's just me and my buddy.
I understand.
Just hang out.
Yeah, nobody listens
hang
to it,
out
actually.
Or hang out.
These aren't even plugged in.
If you just walk around Wrigleyville, do people ask you for tickets?
Yeah. I'm definitely. Well, the Wrigleyville's changed now. It's become very yuppie.
It's all corporate.
Yeah, it is.
I know, no, dude. I was in Chicago in 2001. I watched it change.
They tore down everything.
The Cubby Bear across
is still there.
It's one of the first places I did
the Taco Bell's gone right next to it.
No more Bell.
Sad.
No more Bell.
Very sad.
No more Bell.
Wait.
Penny's Noodles?
Yes, the best.
Fucking great.
I used to struggle with my weight, but I used to order Chinese food from my favorite Chinese place and then like the one dish I like from Penny's. So I'd get two different
hot
places.
Hot pepper
noodles? Hot pepper noodles and then the crab rangoons.
Two soft guys loving that hot pepper
right
noodle.
I next door to it.
Don't struggle with your weight. You're Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, it's up and down. Up and down. So, wait, I want to talk about crashing, though, for a second.
I just love that. This is the only interview that people are
because
like,
I love
the
show. Well, no, because you just said that a lot of it is like from your real life, and your character in Crashing, which is you.
Ish.
You have that ability to do, it's almost like you can only see it, maybe Curb is the same way, where it is so cringeworthy sometimes
You
like, I can't watch this. Like,
that's
I'm watching it underneath a blanket.
That's the whole message, is like anybody that was doing stand-up or even interested in pursuing any type of dream, that one of the underlying themes of Crashing is if it sucks, that's how you know you're doing it right. It's not like, this sucks, why me? It's no, this sucks, I'm in the club.
Right.
Like, that's the path. Like, everyone that did it, Dimitri Martin used to tell me, Jim Gaffigan, Bill Burr, they're all like, if you're shitting in your pants and think you're a fraud, you're on the right track.
So what was the lowest point in your comedy career? Like coming up, because I always am curious about that. Stand-up comedians put themselves out there in such an incredible way.
Well, what's interesting is you're never immune from it. It doesn't matter. Like, I could go to a club tonight, and maybe half the crowd might go like, oh, it's the guy from Crashing. Some might be like, I don't know, it looks like Renee Zellweger is here. It's like a confusing time for them. But there's a moment of grace, and then I'm just as susceptible to a bomb, maybe even more so than some people. So, like, comedy never... I think there is probably a sports analogy here. It's a little bit like golf, I suppose, in that you can't master it.
Right.
You could be the greatest golfer in the world or the greatest stand-up in the world. You could go up and totally eat a shit sandwich. And that's why it's almost like superstition. I don't want to talk about the worst moments because I'm like, for all I know, it's tonight.
Right.
And I'm doing Colbert in 2 hours. I might eat shit.
Nice brag.
Yeah, sick brag. So, damn. So when you're going on stage, let's say that you're doing, there's like a lineup with like.
You both did it.
I mean.
You did sneak it in
you
there.
You got a good nice cop, bad cop. Yeah. One of you should be like nice brag and you should be like.
No, I'm very happy for you. That's awesome. Are you going to declare that you're running for president too? Because that's what they've done like the last three people on that show.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh,
tough
man.
Act to follow.
I followed.
You should just declare. Just be like, fuck it. I'll toss my hat in the ring.
I'll host the Oscars.
What's on your rider?
This water.
That's
I like
it?
This water.
It's pretty sweet.
The Mountain Valley spring water.
Yeah, get that out there. Send me some free Mountain Valley.
Okay.
When you're
that's
doing.
It?
Well, and fruit.
Fruit? Send you fruit?
What would you guys have? I stopped
like
drinking.
M&Ms.
Yeah, just socks. Just like two new,
you know what's funny?
Clean new pair
scratch
of socks.
Dude, Colbert?
Yeah.
There's socks in the gift basket.
No shit.
Really?
You got to get
you know
on Colbert now.
You love it.
Wow.
It's a great gift.
Yeah.
You never know you want it. But your feet are never as good
you
as you want
You should put scratch
to
tickets on your... That would be funny. Hey, I want
this
a bunch of lottery
Kate,
tickets.
This is Kate, one of my publicists. She could make that
the
happen.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Lottery
Could you imagine?
Mad Dog.
If you won a
Mad Dog
bucks?
2020. Yeah. You know who that's has a great rider? I was doing a college the week after LL Cool J was there. This is 10 years ago.
Another brag.
I just said this was 10 years ago, so you would know that I wasn't shit. Not that I'm shit now. I'm just saying, come on.
LL Cool J.
Dude, I name dropped the Lincoln restaurant, and you're still fucking with me? Put down your arms, same side.
Okay, all right.
I'm teasing. So anyway, LL Cool J had been there the week before, and they were like, his rider is a full Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's all it says. And he wouldn't go on because there was no pumpkin pie.
Oh, my God.
There was apple pie.
That's well, yes.
And he said, "Where's the pumpkin
pie?"
And the show was delayed as long as it took a quivering college student to drive to a market and find a pumpkin pie.
We got to get LL Cool J a cornucopia, or he won't take the stage.
LL loves.
He wants a bountiful horn of plenty.
A horn of plenty.
Yes.
H O P. LL loves H O P.
That's amazing.
If you're doing like a show with a stacked lineup, you were talking about like comparing sports to comedy earlier.
Yeah, sure.
is there any element of you that's like, I want to be better than this guy? I want to be, you know, I want to kick this guy's ass? Or just,
what are you, a secret genius?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that your deal?
No, that is actually what he is.
Don't tell anybody. I knew it. This is all
show's
like,
over now.
Nothing to see
this
here.
This is our last episode.
Here. We're out. I know. Yeah, I
the big reveal.
You.
That was it.
Because I think
the worst reveal of all time.
It took me a really, really long time. My whole life, if I had done this show maybe 10 years ago, I would have told you I don't like sports because I don't like competition. But the truth is, I love competition. I guess now I admire that athletes are honest about how competitive they are.
Yeah.
Whereas weirdos from fucking New England like me that don't think it's polite to say you want to do better than the guy before you and the guy after you act like a sweetheart, just like the guy on Crashing. But secretly, yeah, you want to tear the place down. You want the guy to go up. It's like, I remember Gearson Keeler wrote this thing about how pitchers want to embarrass the batter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have to come to terms with that. It's cruel. Not only do you want to strike him out, you want him to strike out swinging.
Yeah.
And you have to get in touch with that part of you. And so do stand-ups. There is a competitive. You're playing you against the audience or you against the show. And obviously it's good to be kind to everybody. But when you're up there, there's something athletic going on.
What about if you're the opener? Isn't there like a rule that you're not supposed to steal the main guy's laughs?
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And then if you do it, you're like, ha-ha, deal with that.
So is it a real thing? Is that a real thing?
Totally. We deal with that in an episode of Crashing this season, which you'll see before anybody.
We have a screener, no big deal.
Where two comedians get in a fight, and then she does something called burning premises, where let's say I know your act,
right,
but I'm going before you, and you have all these jokes about fucking submarine sandwiches. You know, whatever
it might be. Thanks.
That wasn't a fat joke.
No, hey,
it sounded like a fat joke.
You know what I really like in my sandwich? Finish the joke.
It's better than my material.
Yeah, okay.
Talking about Woody dolls. I'm a fucking hack. I need your material. But whatever you're talking about, the Midwest. And then if I know that, I'd go up and either do bits that sabotage the thoughts or just straight up ruin the joke.
Damn. Okay.
And that's called burning someone's premises. And you're not supposed to do that.
Okay.
The opener's also not supposed to do crowd work. You're supposed to save that
that's
for the
right.
headliner. And a lot of people don't follow that.
Huh.
We're going to get back to Pete Holmes in just a second, but first I want to talk to you guys about Spotify. February isn't just about one supersized football game. On Spotify, there's thousands of free sports podcasts that agonize over the preseasons, off-seasons, and plain old regular seasons of nearly every sport imaginable. Basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, curling, even hurling. Yep, that's a real sport. Now it's so easy to stay updated with the latest trade rumors, predictions, and scorching hot takes from some of your favorite game's biggest names. So take it one episode at a time, give 110% of your attention to thousands of free sports podcasts on Spotify after you listen to Part of My Take, because the best offense is a great podcast. And now, more Pete Holmes.
What's a hack?
I mean, a hack is somebody, we're all a little bit hacked.
Yeah.
It's okay to have, it's like fluoride in natural water.
A little
a
dose
well.
Is,
a
it
little
protects
bit is okay.
Well, like it's like this, a vaccination.
This is spring water. No. Come on, InfoWars. Swallowing fluoride does not help your teeth. It controls your pineal gland and makes you complacent. But fluoride does occur naturally in spring water. And that's about as much hackness you can have. Hack just means like premises that anyone could think.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Sometimes people pitch me a joke and I'm like, yeah, my mom would write that joke. Like, no offense, but like, you can't do something that the audience is like. There's
moms need comedy too, though.
That's true. And they have, you know, Caroline Ray.
I guess she's still around?
Yeah, sure.
Drinking
Roseanne.
Wine.
She's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a good way that the audience can go, this guy's reading
Roseanne,
my mind.
That's problematic.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, hashtag.
Yeah.
There's a good way that the audience can be like, this guy's saying things I've thought. Like, shit, I thought I was the only one. And then there's a bad way where you're like, yeah, it is annoying when there's a baby on a plane.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah, you're right. No, that's good.
That's good.
Let's workshop that because it's crying.
I did a sketch on my old
It's
talk
the best
show.
Form of birth control. Traveling next to a baby.
That's good.
There you go.
See, you're smart. It's not easy to think of the hack thing.
That's good, yeah.
I did a sketch on my old talk show called Baby Safe, and it was a safe you can put your baby in.
Okay.
And then there was Travel Baby Safe, which is like a portable safe. And if your baby's crying on a plane, you put the baby in the safe, spin the combo, and put it in the overhead. And now that I have a baby, I don't find that.
They have those for dogs in Brooklyn. I think they actually got rid of them. They had these little like dog houses that you could lock your dog in while you go and get a cup of coffee.
Well, that's just a crate, yeah.
No, but it's sitting on the street. And it's got, they got rid of them because I think people are like, I'm not putting my dog in there. What if it doesn't open?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a refrigerator. There's always the story of someone getting trapped in a fridge in a garbage pile.
Yeah. What do you think's a funnier premise? Your baby safe or your shaken baby bit? Because they both have a lot of promise.
Promise?
Yeah,
one of them I already filmed.
Workshop.
Okay.
I already filmed it. It's done.
Shaking
it
baby
promise?
One?
Where did you film it?
On my HBO special, he's saying it as promise.
And you give those to anyone these
I don't think you meant it that way. Maybe you did. That is the funniest way to tell someone to go fuck themselves that I've ever heard. Now, that shaking baby bit on your HBO special, it's got a lot of promise. Where do you see that bit going? I'm like, I already filmed it.
All right. I'm going to present you an idea, and then you can tell me if it's hacky or not, okay?
PF.
Have you seen Marie Kondo, the tidying expert?
Yes.
Okay, it's Marie Kondo, except it's for porn collections.
Okay.
So it's just the biggest porn guy in the world comes in and he tells you what to keep. It's actually Hideki Matsui.
It's not, does this give you joy? Does this give you a bonus?
Yes. Yeah, there you go. That's the entire thing.
Yeah.
Hack?
Oh, it's not hack.
It's bad.
Stupid.
It's just
I don't
bad.
Even think it's bad. I think it's fine.
I don't even think it's bad means it's worse than bad.
No. I think it has potential.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to like blow anyone away.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do is what's her name, Marie?
Kondo.
Okay, so what I'm going to say is you have a sketch idea to parody that.
Yeah.
That can be one of the beats.
Okay, got it.
You know what I'm saying? We have to come up with a couple other ones.
The other can be like,
add it out.
Like instead of Hans Blix, she's a weapons inspector. So for the UN, she goes to different, she visits dictators
and
tells
nice.
Them
yeah.
which, and then, brand, and, which know, types of mustard
what
gas.
About one
and then the third one has to be the most.
John Wayne Gacy.
That's what
like,
I was going to say.
Which body part?
He's like, you got to move, hold that severed skull and say, does this bring me joy? Okay. Now we have a sketch.
Okay, got
this
it.
This is what it's a writer's room is.
Done.
All right, so back to.
Comedy's easy.
Yeah.
Comedy's easy.
Yeah, comedy's easy. So
just picture an eagle with an erection. Now we're all laughing. It's easy.
Back to sorry, not and sorry.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sorry. I thought we got rid of that.
No,
we're
no,
back.
No. So the premise, you didn't
the
let
producer's
us finish.
Over there like, bring it back up.
Yeah. No. Here we go.
I love it.
So it's actually not about Louis C.K. or Aziz Ansari. It's about the opening act.
Uh-huh.
And he is a terrible comedian, and he never gets better. And it's every episode is 20 minutes of his terrible comedy, and then Louis C.K. and Aziz refusing to say sorry. And then it's like 7 seasons long. So then at the end, the joke's on you for watching it.
That's hilarious.
Do you like it?
I mean, I love it. I think we could get that on one
you
of the.
You think Judd would like it?
What?
You're
a good actor.
Judd wouldn't like it?
That was good. Do you guys do sketches too? Because that was good acting.
Not really.
You could do it.
We don't
it.
Have a talented director you do.
You both have faces for TV.
I was in a Reebok commercial once.
You were? Yeah. You look like a Reebok commercial.
Yeah, unnaturally quick. That was my line.
Unnaturally quick?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I nailed it.
I love it.
Yeah. What I gave him like 20.
Did you
like,
know?
Unnaturally quick.
This is a sports podcast. I have a podcast called You Made It Weird. Did you know?
Oh, how's that going?
How dare you? Did you know? I don't understand the joke. What is the joke there?
I don't know. Just,
I'm not even sure.
I don't either, but we laughed.
We did laugh.
Yeah, we laughed. So it was
I just wanted to point out that Aaron Rodgers did it. Did you guys listen to that?
Oh, you had fucking Aaron Rodgers on?
How'd you get him on your show?
Damn it.
Get out of my fucking face.
Would you have?
That's bullshit.
I mean, how'd
that's
you get
bullshit.
Aaron Rodgers?
Get that on the Wikipedia page.
How did you get him on?
He's a friend of a friend, so we're friends.
Is that how it works?
That's how friends work.
Wait, was Aaron Rodgers the
is
guy
this
that
where we
you?
Dissolved
did Aaron
a cartoon about how to make friends?
Wait, was he surly with you? He's a surly guy.
He's not surly.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He's military
he got
precision.
He got his coach fired this
would
year.
Would you say he's standoffish?
No. From I mean, I don't even, you know, I've never been in Green Bay with him.
Yeah.
I've only been in L.A. with him.
Okay.
Where he's very cordial. Will we go to a restaurant?
Oh, so you actually have extended this relationship.
We've hung out maybe 4 or 5 times. He comes to my birthday, which is weird because he's friends with my friend Rob Bell, who's an author, who's one of my best friends.
Okay.
And then Aaron is a friend with him. And here's the thing. Because I don't care about sports, I think it's fun. Like, you know what I mean?
He probably wouldn't
like Hercules.
Us,
and
I said some mean things about him.
Well, you got to.
Yeah, you have to.
I think
to.
He would understand. Yeah, I mean, don't you think he'd be insulted if you didn't critique and
they don't
discuss?
Boo nobodies.
Yeah.
That's nice.
What about
they don't boo nobodies?
Tell Aaron Rodgers that we're not a sports podcast.
Or yeah,
just like
yeah,
an
yeah.
arts podcast.
We've never heard of sports.
He might do it.
What are sports?
Isn't
a sports
show,
ball?
I mean,
you,
show
you,
is,
you throw the sports ball
there? Very popular, and he talked a lot. Well, two things. One, he talked a lot about thinking about a life after football. So, of course, you know, he would be interested in
breaking news, Aaron Rodgers is set to retire. Go on.
Well, he's considering retirement.
I don't even know the joke. Is he
no,
always
that's,
doing
we just
that?
Broke the news.
No,
that's
we just broke it.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Please credit us.
Okay, you got it.
Yep.
Exclusive. Hashtag, what's his number?
A 12. 12.
12 no more.
Yep.
12 no mo.
Oh, okay,
12
like
no
that.
More is the hashtag. And then he also talked about seeing an alien.
That's right. I do remember
he saw
this.
A UFO.
Yeah.
And he tells it in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's
right. It's pretty
right.
great. I'm not even trying to poach your fans. I'm just
no,
saying.
You just did. It's no, fine.
I also had J.J. Reddick.
Oh, here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, we've had him too. No big deal. Yeah. It wasn't that great.
Hilarious.
No, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's very good. We like
but he went to
BFT. I like you better when you're just burning shit down.
The problem,
you're like the real life Joker. You're just like some people just want to watch the
yeah,
world
the,
burn.
The shitty Jared Leto version.
No!
And like mails condoms to people and thinks it's, oh, isn't this such a great prank?
Yeah.
You're like, no, you just gave me hepatitis.
That is so funny.
Wait, so you don't even know like J.J. Redick, Duke J.J. Redick, so that's why he was comfortable going on your podcast.
Where he was kind of not
like. We all hated him then.
Yeah, that's right.
And we talked about him with him.
There's something about hanging with somebody that's not a sports fan. But I talked to Dikembe Mutombo on my.
Same with us.
Yeah,
with
he was
big
great,
deal.
Right?
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Hilarious.
You
want to
have a guest
hilarious.
Off?
James Harden.
Oh. I haven't had him.
Shit.
That's pretty cool.
Fuck.
I won't know a lot of, what's the guy with the
we had Kevin Hart. You ever had Kevin Hart?
No, man. That's
yeah,
a good guess.
That's what I thought.
That's not even what I'm doing.
Marky
I'm
Mark.
Like, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
you
actually
want to talk to him right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't.
Please.
I have a cold. I'll try. Hey, guys. How's it going?
I thought you were going to call him.
You guys want to talk about fucking sports?
Yeah. Why'd you leave the Super Bowl, Marky Mark?
You know, I just fucking don't care. I get in there. I'm like, I can only be here for 15 minutes. Have you seen my schedule?
His schedule's ridiculous.
My schedule's fucking, it's a fucking lie, bro. I sleep 22 hours a night.
I'm losing my voice.
At the end of our interview with Mark Wahlberg, he asked us, like, point blank, do you guys actually do this for a living? And it was the nicest thing anyone's ever said to us.
I love it. I've had that after stand-up shows. They go, so what do you do?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, come on.
Yikes.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Yikes.
It was, actually, it was weirdly a compliment, though, when he said it.
Yeah, it was.
Awesome.
Because it was like, we are so naive in some
yeah.
sense, and we're just like, we ask the dumbest questions, and we love asking dumb questions
I love
sincerely.
It too. It's great.
And so he was like, he couldn't believe that this was actually our job.
I can't believe it's your job.
Yeah.
Is this your first time, doing it?
Is this your first time doing a podcast?
Yeah.
Hold on, 1 second. Before I sign the release, what is the podcast?
That's pretty much it.
Okay,
can you do pretty much it.
Can you do head body?
Not you.
From the fighter.
From the fighter.
Yeah. You wouldn't like it because
it's
about sports.
You know, I didn't know there were cameras.
Yeah, uh-huh. You don't like
I
that.
Was just being there. I was doing pull-ups and shit. They just followed me around.
I was just walking around with an Irish flag over my shoulder.
I didn't give a shit. That's just what fucking Marky Mark is doing. I don't give a fucking shit, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much nailed it. Here's a good question.
Yeah, bro.
You were the E-Trade baby?
Yeah, you are on my Wikipedia page, dude. What's next, Batman?
Yeah, I was going to go there.
I didn't write that down. But wait.
No, I'm not here to judge your technique.
We were very open about our technique, that it's like
you are
5 minutes beforehand, look up.
I get the show.
Well, you're not even at the point. You want to skip
ahead? Are there cameras?
Ahead? Yeah, you want to skip ahead to the people also
No,
ask?
No, dude, I'm honored and
no,
so you know anything.
So when you go on Google.
You
want
to hear the E-Trade?
Yeah,
you
do
don't
it.
Give a fuck. What do you want him to say?
I don't know. How much fun you're having on
say,
this podcast.
Actually, Ameritrade's better. Or TD Ameriprise is
that's
better.
We'll try to get people to buy Bitcoin 2Gen.
Bitcoin 2Gen.
Steven Seagal's Bitcoin. Cryptocurrency.
If you're tired of taking advice from a baby, Steven Seagal has some Bitcoins that he'll karate kick into your fucking face if you want them. It's easy. Yeah, that's
sold.
You know that sold. When I hear that voice, it instantly takes me back to like the
Super Bowl.
Yeah, like the 49ers Ravens Super Bowl.
You know, put a ponytail in your head, get some good head spread. You know what head spread is?
Of course.
Yeah, where you get older and all your parts start moving away from each other, like Pangea,
different type of-
Pangea in reverse. That's what happens to Seagal. He's got good head spread.
Yeah,
he's a small town sheriff now. But you know, go to etrade.com.
He's actually a Russian spy. Yeah. But-
Is he?
Yeah.
Well,
he
lives in Russia. I don't think
he's
come
actually
back
a
to
business
America.
Mogul.
He's in
diplomat.
Russia?
I'm pretty sure.
Weird time.
Yeah.
Very
weird time.
Very
him
weird
and,
time.
Him and Dennis Rodman like quietly became America's most important diplomats over the last 3 years.
That is.
I kind of like
been
that.
Great.
Hilarious.
It's been good for our country.
He used to break arms and we loved it.
Yeah.
Remember when we loved shit?
Yeah.
Huh? Like, you ever watch an old movie and you're like, we just like movies
Bloodsport? Yeah.
Because it was a movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Now there's so many, it's like, this better be good. I'll give it 10 minutes.
Yeah, Netflix is kind of ruined it.
Do you have any like resentment towards towards Hollywood as a whole? Yeah, well, that first of all, I know that you won't say yes because he'll break your arm in half.
Could he still?
Oh yeah, have you seen those videos of him doing the what's the type of martial Aikido?
Aikido.
He's an Aikido master.
Isn't that
people
the old fat one?
They just sprint at him and he just touches them and they flip.
Okay.
He channels so much energy.
Okay.
Through
what we're going to do is you're going to run at me, and then if I touch you, fall over.
Yeah.
Action.
That's pretty much
that's it.
Movie gets made.
That was kind of my Batman voice.
But when it comes to like the movies that you see coming out in Hollywood, is there a part of you that's like, I wish there was like a little more space for original ideas to be made, or like is it all going to be comic books this year?
That's it is interesting. You see, when are we going to get tired of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think every time I watch one, I'm like, that's the last one.
Yeah.
And then there's 12 more, and I'm like, two tickets, please. Yeah. It's like we're hypnotized. We can't stop.
It just seems like it'd be frustrating, or it'd be tougher to pitch a totally original idea to somebody. As opposed to like,
no,
we're going to do Iron Man 7.
Right. Or you have to at least be like, and it's a reboot of Blossom. Like, right. It has to have, like, nostalgia right. built into it. Because I think there's probably, you know, the brain loves numbers and stats and those things you can prove. It's hard to prove heart and, like, good, soulful ideas. But if you're trying to sell an idea and if you can be like, Blossom has this many fans, and did you know there's Blomcom, which is
right.
like a conference for six fans, and you know what I mean? And then you can sell that idea because, uh-huh. like, economically viable. But I think of some of the movies that we loved as kids, and I'm like, they wouldn't get made today.
No. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. You think somebody's going to make Spaceballs?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of my face.
Debbie Does Dallas? Give me a break. The Cowboys aren't even
you went
good
right
anymore.
To porn. This one goes right next to Deep Throat because it's
yeah.
deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Susie Sucks Saints. That's what it would be these
days. He doesn't understand sports
jokes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Our sex,
sorry,
probably.
He doesn't understand sports jokes.
I understand sex.
No sports jokes.
I know sports jokes. You ever just, like, ground rule double? You ever just hit one and it bounces and it goes in the stands?
Yeah.
And they're like, take two, Mac.
Yeah. If you could go back in time and do
it all
over again.
Oh, I got a question for you after this.
Okay, if you go back in time and do it all over again, would you still vote for Trump?
I'm going to put your face on my birthday cake.
Would
I want to think of you on my happiest day.
Would you?
I didn't vote for Trump.
Are you sure?
Your Wikipedia page says you did.
Yeah,
says
what the hell? This whole thing is a lie.
That is... This
Damn,
is the interview
Pete
I wanted.
Wait, I'll write that down.
This
I'm going to write that down.
The interview I wanted to do.
I'm going
to
write that down. Pete Holmes did not vote for Trump.
Okay, you're the guy that did the MAGA version of Batman, though, right?
That is funny.
MAGA right. man?
Right. We have to build a wall.
Yeah.
No, I don't agree with that Batman.
Yeah, you... What is it? I was born into the darkness. You merely inherited it. Like, yeah. I think, yeah. Except MAGA Batman actually inherited his suit.
Make Gotham great again.
I actually have a real question.
Somebody needs to control these taxes for Bruce Wayne. Not that that's me.
Top tax bracket. I have a real question for you.
I have one for you, too. Don't let me forget.
My real question is, what is it actually like to work with Judd Apatow? And do you ever sit back and be like, man, he changed comedy and how we watch movies TV shows?
His were the movies that I would actually go to the theater. You're talking about Iron Man and stuff. It's hard to get a comedy out that people want to go and see. But back when Judd was making a lot of movies, he's making lots of stuff now. But, you know, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up. Those were movies. I was living in New York at the time. You'd see the billboard. You're like, well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it still happens. You see Trainwreck. We're like, well, that's what I'm going to go see. And nobody really exists like that. So he really is like a
What's
crazy
it like to work
talent.
With him, though? Is he everyone has ideas, let's hear them all, or does he have a vision and just
see dictate?
Yeah, no, yeah. He is absolutely the most collaborative, most, like, he wants to riff and play around, and if we think we have it perfect, he'll smash it, because he doesn't want anybody to be precious, and then we rebuild it. Constantly trying to push you, like a boxing coach, out of your head.
Yeah.
I'm not just trying to do that because it's a sports place.
No.
But he wants you to be out of your head. And when I watch the takes that make it into the show, it's often when we were improvising. It's often when Jed will come in and he'll be like, do one, but be angry. Like, he'll just say, for no reason, be angry.
Right.
Just to give it some energy, just to give it a different take. And he's taught me so many. The other thing he taught me was, like, if everybody's like, well, Pete, like, got bad news, he's probably going to be sad. He'd be like, maybe he's happy. You know what I mean? Because that's how life is.
Right.
He's very good at going, like,
how you're
gonna, sometimes you don't even know why, but you're kind of, like, relieved you didn't get something. And you're like,
right.
oh, I guess this was more important to me. That's one of the main things he taught me as a storyteller. Here's my question for you guys.
Okay.
I'm genuinely interested, so I'm not just saying this because sports podcast. If you could be the best athlete in any sport, but only one, what sport?
Horse racing.
Is this real?
Yes, you're a horse. You compete three times.
Wait, you want to be the horse?
Yeah, not the jockey. You thought I was going to say jockey?
Dude,
I'm way too tall to be
you
a jockey.
Are
Come on.
Mushrooms.
All right,
you were like, horse racing.
No, I
know where he's
going.
Yeah,
right. It's pretty obvious. It's a no-brainer. You have a three-year career. If you retire at the top of your field, and then you just fuck for the rest of your life. That's all you do. You just compete to fuck.
Oh,
and your sperm's worth, like, $250,000 a load.
Yeah, but they're not on like a rotating silk bed in Vegas. They're like in a corral with their dick.
Oh, they're not.
Nice.
They're in farms.
Kentucky
in
bluegrass.
Oh, yeah.
You've never fucked in bluegrass. You're telling on yourself right now.
Beautiful.
If you had fucked out in a nice pasture outside of Bowling Green, you would not be talking shit about it.
I have to say something.
Yeah.
You're demonstrating a level of creative thinking that is next level.
So
that's a great answer.
So does he have a job with Judd?
Yeah. You don't want a job with me. You want a job with Judd.
Judd, Would he make his wife be in a movie with him?
Yes. Okay. You love Leslie?
Yeah, she's awesome.
No, I'd be I'd be a quarterback.
Interesting. Because for me, it's between quarterback or basketball.
What basketball
those are the
player,
ones.
Though?
Jordan.
Oh, you're saying a person? Like, are you saying a position?
I'm saying... consider this for you.
Yeah,
this will help you how I'm thinking, even though you've already won.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
True, yes.
that's good confidence. True.
Yeah.
Football player wears a helmet, so it's a different kind of fame.
Yeah, but quarterback is a different level.
That's true. You do commercials and stuff.
And it's the pinnacle of American sports.
I get it. Square jaw. I talk with Aaron Rodgers about, why are all these quarterbacks good looking? We actually talk about testosterone levels, which lead to decisiveness, which actually leads to attributes like square jaws, which is crazy.
Would you attribute his
junk science guy, then.
And would you attribute his bad season to low T?
Is that what you're saying? Did he have a bad season?
He had a very bad season.
I don't even know.
Are you saying Aaron Rodgers believes in, was it, phrenology?
Skull measurement? He's dating Danica, and
she's a crystal girl. Yeah, she loves crystals.
Crystal skull?
Yeah. No, crystals.
Crystals,
jerk off to him.
Kingdom of the crystal skull.
Yeah.
They give you power.
Oh.
Yeah. You have the right type of crystal. She actually believes
you harness the power of the crystals.
Well, you know what? Why I'm somewhat open to it? Mm-hmm. What else are they doing?
Right.
They look pretty fucking cool.
Right.
Quartz?
Taking
a glimpse at a quartz recently, looks like if you put it in your butt, you might shit a unicorn.
Right.
Yeah. Are you a geode guy?
What are geodes doing if not telling us our future?
Exactly.
You touch a geode, you see how you die.
Or you jerk off with your bros.
But if you're Jordan, it's sort of like the most vain choice. No helmet. It's you. You can dominate in a way. A quarterback has to collaborate for the most part. He has to pass.
Mm-hmm. So
Jordan can just have the ball and fucking
If you're asking a specific guy, I don't think I'd ever want to be the greatest of all time at any sport, because I feel like there comes with that a ton of pressure and a ton of the fame is so crushing. I'd like to be like Robert Horry, who has 5 championships and he made a ton of money and he was a role player on every team.
Great answer. What sport is that?
Basketball.
Okay.
So he just hit big shots. He's a legend.
Right.
But if he goes to a restaurant, people aren't going to stop and just mob him.
You want to be the me. that's me.
Robert Horry?
You've
won 5 championships?
No. I'm just saying I'm not famous.
Yeah.
No, we think about this.
But
I'm being real.
Yeah.
But you can be in comedy.
Yep.
And make your art. But nobody gives a fuck that I'm at Disneyland.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes.
You're thinking,
exactly.
Again, you guys are both very creative thinkers.
Yes. Right.
But if you did have to be the biggest star in the world,
I still think
quarterback,
just because there's something about football in America and the Super Bowl.
I understand.
It's just a different level.
Or there's also baseball, which is very American.
No, but you work too much.
Yeah, and you're probably dumb.
It's also...
Baseball players are pretty dumb.
Are they dumb?
Yeah,
they don't go to college.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Because they're dumb.
Yeah.
I want to interview...
Who's the dumbest guest you've ever had on your show?
Mm.
That's a good question.
Thanks.
I don't know. Why am I thinking about it?
The publicist is saying, don't answer this.
I honestly don't know. I don't think I've ever had the experience of being on the podcast and being like, this person is an idiot. I'm being real.
Yeah.
I have had that in life.
Yeah.
Where you're talking to somebody and they're just like, what? You say,
why are you looking right at me right now?
Boop. Mm-hmm. Because you're the host of the show.
Fucked up, Pete.
You ever use a word, a simple word, and you're just like, and that I was flabbergasted. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we did. It actually happened to me the first when you said cognized. Yeah. I was like, well, cognized. He's using a word I don't know.
We're pretty dumb guys. So when we do, I think I said atrophy the other day in a podcast, and everyone's like, big word.
Yeah.
Yep, you know it.
Well,
big word.
Isn't that what's nice about sports? Is you don't have to think in language. You can just go
grunt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Punch.
It's nice. It's basic. Turn your brain off for a second.
True. All right, my last question.
I think it's how my dad meditated.
Really?
Yeah, he went to Fenway Park.
Oh, yeah.
And you just stare forward.
There,
I was the kid that was always like, Dad, how do you feel? And he was like, I'm watching the game.
Yeah, that's a great point. You just stare.
You don't stare off
in the distance. Yeah.
You don't have to verbalize what's going on. You're just watching life as it is.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, or boo.
That's
in the moment.
It's like pure emotion.
All right, we got to wrap up. We've been told we have to wrap up. We would have you on forever.
I love that.
We didn't even get to the frequently asked questions on Google. Next time you come on.
Why? Because
no,
we have,
next no, time
you're
you
a recurring
you
guest
guys,
now.
Yeah. Next time you come on.
We'll go
How
on
old
show.
Is Pete Holmes?
I'm 39.
How tall is Pete Holmes?
6'6".
How much is Pete Holmes worth?
Google it.
That's the question.
When it's
you,
Google.
That people
when you
also
search
ask.
Pete
oh,
Holmes,
I'll tell you this.
Ask questions people also oh. ask, so we clear it up for everyone.
I think it's wrong. I think it's way high.
What are we talking?
What does it say?
A mil?
I bet it says 1.5.
Oh, okay.
We'll Pete Holmes' net worth of $3
million. Whoa.
Yeah, it's too high.
Yeah. Well, you got that podcast money coming in.
How
like
much
we...
cash you have on you?
Is that a real question?
Yeah.
I used to
You
I'd
owe
have,
us for this
I'd
podcast.
Have rappers on my podcast. And I would ask them how much cash they had on them.
Well, look at you.
Oh, we
you got big
cash.
Plans later?
I have $660 on me.
Wow.
If you know why? It's because I'm traveling.
Yeah.
It's tip money.
All right, so if you see Pete Holmes not in L.A., just know that you can mug him for decent-sized money.
That's actually true. Like someone was like, you should get a chain wallet. It's just a way of saying, hey, it's worth it.
Grab it.
Like, you want it.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not normally carry $600. That's going to go to – we have all these cars driving us around. Those guys get little Christmas presents from old Petey Pants.
Yes, I like that. Yes. All right, Pete, thank you so much. Everyone check out Crashing. It is a hilarious show.
Please do. This was
HBO.
So fun.
Yes.
It was
a great time. You're welcome back anytime.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you probably will never see us again. I can
Why?
See
if you
could
put
eyes.
In a good word with Aaron Rodgers, that'd be
Are
awesome.
Are you kidding
too.
Me?
Aaron, to
bring
come on
you,
the
I'm going to bring you a sausage scramble with cheese, you
Tell him
Midwest.
To come on the show.
Okay.
Okay.
Will I'll text him. He won't reply, but I'll text him.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's get to some segments. First up, let's do an embrace debate that's actually, I have no idea what it is. So, PFT, you said it's a mystery embrace debate. I am very excited to hear this.
This is a hot one. So, I was, if you can't tell, we are doing a Skype show right now. I'm down in Florida, but before I flew out, we were waiting in the airport. Our whole gate got delayed for like, I'm not complaining, by the way, but
nope.
We were delayed for like 2.5-3 hours. I'm not going to say what airline it was. It was Frontier, but I don't want
you
to take
you.
It out on them.
That's on you, dude.
I don't. Yeah, it's absolutely on me. And in fact, like, I learned something from flying Frontier, and that's that I think every political candidate for president should have to travel around the country exclusively on Frontier. It's like Fight Club in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Like, it's no rules on a Frontier airline. It was the only flight I could find out late enough that I could leave after we did our thing that we did on Wednesday that you guys will find out about. But so I was flying out on Frontier. We got delayed for a few hours and got a real hot debate going amongst the crowd that was sitting there waiting. I thought you guys might want to weigh in on it. All right, you ready for this?
Yes.
Would you rather be hungry or thirsty?
Hmm. Are we talking extremes?
I'm talking like, yeah, moderate to severe.
I would rather be hungry than thirsty because I feel like if you are properly hydrated, like you're okay. You can survive for a very long time.
I agree.
You can drink away some of your hunger too.
Right.
But,
absolutely.
But if you're thirsty and you just eat a lot of food, you can't get rid of that thirst. In fact, it makes it worse.
Right. So the answer is easy.
To me, it was, but there were some people that were saying that they would much rather be thirsty because they get stomach aches when they. It was, you know, a lot of older people that were saying that.
Ridiculous. Yeah,
blood pressure issues.
I love being hungry because it means I haven't eaten, so I'm feeling kind of skinny. You know what I mean? You know when you haven't eaten for like 8-10 hours or 2-3 hours and you start feeling really skinny and feeling light on your feet? That's a great feeling to have.
It is. But counterpoint, hungry dogs run faster.
True. That's also true. Dave Portnoy created that.
Yeah, and the Eagles, they would disagree with you.
Yes, I know. That was the joke. next up, we have a Trouble in Paradise.
Are you podcasting in the dark, BFD?
Yeah, he is. He's fully in the dark.
The sun has gone down.
The sunset.
Since we started podcasting.
It's just the shadow of your face. All right, next up, we have Trouble in Paradise, which has actually just been an ongoing Trouble in Paradise. It is for Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics because Kyrie Irving continues to talk to the media, continues to talk about himself as a leader. What was his recent interview?
He sat down with recurring guest Rachel Nichols. She asked him all the questions anyone should ask him, but he was like, he kept referring to the young guys, like, we got a lot of young guys who think they know what they're doing, but they don't. Like, I've been there. I used to not know what I was doing. Like, now I do. He kept separating himself from the rest of the team, which.
After doing a whole the two max contract troll with Kevin Durant and keeping the free agency the summer, by the way, this summer for the NBA free agency is going to fucking suck. This is going to be the worst. Like, there are so many free agencies and so many stories and all this shit, and it's going to be insane. But Kyrie Irving continues to, I don't really know what he's doing. He wants to be a leader. He says he's a leader, and then he bashes guys, then he says there's a problem. I actually had a theory, PFT, and I don't know if anyone has said this, but I thought of this morning. I think Kyrie Irving has just thought he is like now Uncle Drew because he was in that movie. He is like the old guy who's trying to teach everyone else on the team, and he has basically, like, the Uncle Drew filming stopped, but it didn't stop for Kyrie Irving, and he doesn't really know how to be like a true leader except for a really bad Hollywood movie.
That's actually a very good theory. I like that. And it was a good movie.
No,
I don't know if you saw it.
You did not see it.
I saw it. No, I saw it. I watched it.
No, you didn't.
I saw the commercial for it, and yes. It was good. I saw the original commercial that led to the trailer that I eventually watched for the movie that I haven't seen.
I saw
the original commercial was amazing.
Yeah, I saw it. It was in Jackass 2 when Johnny Knoxville and Spike Jones walked around with their balls out of their pants.
Right, I saw it when it was Coming to America, and Eddie Murphy was in a barbershop just screaming at himself with four different characters. No, I mean, listen, I think Kyrie is way over his skis on this one. Ever since Kobe talked to him, that's what it is. Ever since Kobe was like, you have to have an asshole on the team, and you are the prime candidate to be that asshole because it's not going to be LeBron. And Kyrie was like, yeah, Kobe, whatever you say, Kobe, sure thing. Like, ever since that conversation happened, Kyrie is like a different kind of guy, and I don't think that he even knows what he's doing. I think he's like that Michael Scott scene from The Office where he just starts talking, and he's like, sometimes I just start saying sentences, yes, and I figure out where I'm going halfway through, and I'll get there by the end of it. That's what Kyrie does when he talks to the media.
I think there's an element of truth of what you're saying, PFT, but more so in the fact that, like, he's answered the question so many times, so it's like when people keep asking him, he's just kind of making up new answers each time because, like, he said in the beginning of the year, he's like, I want to come back. And then it's like, they ask him again. So, he, like, at this point, you know, he said what he said last time, and then they still asked him. So why shouldn't he just keep changing his answer?
I just don't see how this ends, like, well, unless the Celtics win the championship.
Or he resigns.
But I just don't, like, what does the playoff loss look like that has Kyrie Irving being like, I feel like Kyrie Irving will just blame everyone else.
No.
Okay. All right.
Hang on. Real quick hand compression. This interview today, this was the start of the Celtics getting it all together for their playoff run. This tension that they have right now is going to really, it's going to bring the team together as one. They're going to unite. Kyrie's going to be a leader. Then he's going to resign, and he's going to stay a Celtic until he actually dies, until he's 70 years old, and he's going to have 20 championships.
All right. Next up, we have a new segment alert. Hank, hit the new segment alert. Nice. That was the noise? Really? All right, so the new segment alert, the new segment is just called We Read a Headline. So that's it. No one go crazy here. It's just We Read a Headline. So today's We Read a Headline is, hold on, cut this, I don't have it up.
Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim hits, kills man walking on I-690. And that was We Read a Headline.
Was the man in the restricted area?
We Read a Headline, PFT. That's all it is. Don't deviate from the segment. It's We Read a Headline.
Okay.
I'll do it one more time for you. Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim hits, kills man walking on I-690. We Read a Headline. Okay, next up, we have Mike Wilbon, name drop of the week. You had this one, PFT.
Yeah, this goes out to Jimmy Butler. He pulled a great name drop, actually. This was yesterday. He said that Marky Mark's 10-year-old daughter is his best friend in the world. So, hell of a name drop. Jimmy Butler seems like a cool guy. Just normal stuff.
Yeah.
Had an old J-butt. Yeah.
J-butt. You know what? You should have... When we started the whole, is Jimmy Butler a top 15 player? If you had just gone with Jay Butt from the get-go, you would have beaten me in that argument. That's a little...
The second I said it, I realized that I'm such an idiot for not having gone with that earlier.
You're
Costanza
in the jerk store.
Right, like, in front of me the whole time.
You had that. That was... when if anyone says, can you build a team around Jimmy Butler? You'd be like, what, Jay Butt?
Right.
Done.
I thought that me saying that he looked exactly like Frylock would be enough from the get-go, but I needed to combine it with J-Butt.
J-Butt.
So J-Butt is best friends with a 10-year-old girl.
Oh, man.
Totally normal.
Yeah.
Actually, so if you're going to be best friends with someone's daughter, I actually think that Marky Mark is probably a good choice, because Marky Mark is not the kind of guy that's going to let you do anything weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, Marky Mark... absolutely has like 10 different t-shirts that say like, I don't carry a weapon unless my daughter gets home late, you know,
right.
Like that sort of thing.
Right.
Like, he's very protective.
Well, more than anything, it speaks to Jay Butt being like on three teams in the last 3 years. And his best friend in the world is Mark Wahlberg's 10-year-old daughter. It's like, well, that makes sense. That really does make sense. Jay Butt. Like you don't have any friends. All right. Last up, SeatGeek question real quick. Promo code TAKE. You get $10 off your SeatGeek purchase. Go watch Pete Holmes stand up or go to NCAA game, NBA game. It's back. Hockey, everything. SeatGeek, promo code TAKE. You get $10 off. PFT, the SeatGeek question is, why are you mad at Slipknot? Because this was a segment that you threw out there that seems very personal.
I wanted to do a put one in his ear hole for Slipknot.
Okay,
because
why?
Their lead singer said that Imagine Dragons has taken the worst band in the world baton from Nickelback.
Mm.
And it just seemed like an unnecessary shot. Like, Slipknot, cool. Hey, you guys were great. Like, I remember that song Wait and Bleed that came out in 1997. That was cool. You guys all wore masks because you were ashamed because you were such a bad band. That's very cool for you to just take a shot right at Imagine Dragons. So I just wanted to put one in their ear hole real quick, because we have to get our boys and IDs back.
That's true. The alternate segment name for that would be, hey, this guy's still alive, lead singer for Slipknot.
Yeah, you know what it is? Slipknot never got the backlash that Marilyn Manson had.
Mm-hmm.
They were hoping to get some of that buzz. Like, they wanted America's parents to hate them. They'd be like, no, whatever you do, you can't listen to Slipknot.
Right.
But nobody cared because they weren't good enough.
So
now they're taking it out on a guy that's got a sweet-ass big drum.
Right. They also didn't remove a rib and suck their own dick. That was their biggest mistake. Marilyn Manson, if you grew up in the 90s, you know that was a fact, because the whole world, before social media, before the internet was a thing, somehow that rumor got to the whole entire world. So, myth busted, unless it's not, and we don't want to get sued.
I would also like to say that this is meme plagiarism by Slipknot, because I saw that meme of, I think it was like somebody breaking into Elian Gonzalez's house, and there was like Imagine Dragons, Nickelback, worst band in the world, somewhere on the meme. And so the guy from Slipknot saw this meme, and now he's giving interviews where he's verbally reciting a meme that he's stealing from somebody. So he's like, he's a real life fuck Jerry.
Yes. Yes. All right. Let's wrap up the show with FAQs and Hank's grab bag.
Nope.
Roast. Okay. Before we get to the roast, though, a quick shout out to all the award winning listeners. The PodTrack rankings came out. We were 7 overall in the country. 7. Not just
world.
Not just sports.
Galaxy.
It's insane. We keep growing month over month. It's been 3 years straight of this now, so we appreciate your support. We appreciate you subscribing, unsubscribing, and telling people to listen, and we hopefully will just keep keep dropping stuff for you that you like, including a new song that PFT alluded to earlier that should be coming out in the next few weeks-ish, right? Is that fair, Hank?
Yeah.
Within the next 2 weeks. Not next week, the week after.
Okay.
And when we say at the end of the show that we love you guys, we actually do love you guys. That's serious.
Except when
Hank edits it out sometimes.
Yeah, except when you say just love you, and then it's creepy.
Yeah, that was weird.
Because you looked right in my eyes. Hank, go ahead.
A mustachioed Michelin man debates bridges and tunnels with a man from witness protection. Their 20-something future cat owner friend chimes in about Boston here and there, while someone shouts out about Hitler and the other eats Doritos.
Okay. That was pretty...
It's more of just like a...
Yeah, that was pretty vanilla, run-of-the-mill. You kind of nailed
Bubba's a big Doritos eater, huh?
Yeah, huge.
Honestly, biggest waste of my time. Just two dudes who can't accept the fact that they are old and out of touch. A third guy makes an occasional appearance but sounds like knives stabbing my ears.
Ooh.
I pray for those who actually listen.
That actually kind of hurts. That one actually...
That was nice that,
that hurt.
It was nice that you praised for the listeners, though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, that one hurt a little bit.
From the minds...
Starting a roast off with, like, honestly, this is a waste of my time.
Yeah.
That cuts pretty deep.
Yeah. That definitely hurts. Stings.
From the minds that brought you Boner Dogs and How It's Made Car Stick comes a heartwarming tale about overcoming height, weight, and illiteracy to become the world's most popular sports podcast that also gives dangerous female health advice. Starring Walmart brand John Candy, Hillary Swank's ugly sister, and front-running sports fandom incarnate, in theaters never.
Okay, so those roasts are very funny. That was a very funny roast, but it also, like, every now and then we'll get a roast that's very funny, but also kind of a compliment because... Calling me a Walmart brand John Candy is like the nicest compliment I've ever gotten. If my life peaks at Walmart brand John Candy, I had a great life.
Yeah. Also, Hillary Swank was an inspiring character in nearly every movie that she's been in, so I should be so lucky to be her sister.
Tom Petty and Billy Mays team up to try and manipulate little boys to pretend to be girls and ask them questions.
Okay, that one was good. That was really fucking good.
A frequent bar rescue spy and his extensions-wearing co-host make real famous people uncomfortable while taunting their prepubescent bearded... How is that even possible? Prepubescent bearded producer and forcing him to adopt a cat, currently terrified for Frank's livelihood.
Ooh, it's actually LeBron, so you should be worried about LeBron's livelihood. Are you going to feed LeBron wine?
I'm not getting...
Well, yeah, that'll be part of the food plan that we put it on.
PFT.
We're going to put it on Cat Nutrisystem, which is just tuna, fish, and wine.
You just missed what just happened there. Hank's brain stopped for a second because he was going to answer it, and then he remembered that he's going with the, I'm not worried, I'm not getting a cat.
I'm not. This isn't...
Hank, what kind of white wine pairs nice with tuna fish?
I will.
Is that like a Pinot Grigio?
I'm not worried at all, and I'm not getting a cat. I will say that I, you know, just in case, you always got to have a backup plan. There is a major problem that my girlfriend is, like, very allergic to cats. So which, again, it's not going to happen. I'm not worried about it happening. If by some miraculous happenstance it does happen, I'm going to have to get a non-allergenic cat, which look like the most disgusting, like, naked baby rats.
I was literally laying in bed last night at, like, midnight and just giggling to myself about Hank getting a cat.
This isn't a roast. I just can't wait until Frank and Hank are sitting next to each other, drinking milk when Duke loses. Love you guys.
Oh, Hank, you know what we got to get you? We have to get you one of those tongue extensions. I don't know if you ever saw the infomercial where you can pet and clean your cat with your own tongue. So it's like a plastic thing that clips onto your tongue so you can just lick it.
It's not going to happen. Last one. This one's a little serious, but we got a lot of these, so I just want to put this one in the air. My brother died from cancer 2 days ago. He's been sick for the past year and had been hospitalized for the past month. PMT shows have been incredibly integral in helping me get through this time. PMT has helped me get through some very dark and emotional times and provided a big outlet for me to just laugh and escape my own reality. Thank you, Dan, PFT, and Hank. You guys are brilliant and making unbelievable strides in what you do. We get a decent amount of those, like, every now and then, of just people that are going through a hard time and just...
That's kind of what it's all about. Like, whenever someone hits us up and they've been going through something or their family's been going through something and they say that we can give them a laugh, that's it right there. Yeah. I mean, that makes our day and makes everything we do worth it.
Yeah, hopefully we can, you know, take a little bit of this thing off or, you know, help you forget about it for a little bit or give you a little bit of escape. And if we're able to do that, then that's pretty much the coolest thing that we do. So all the best to you. Hope you and your family's doing well. So, yeah, take care.
And with that, we will see everyone Monday. And just think, if you're going through a tough time, it's world's going to get even funnier when Hank gets LeBron Lockwood.
Love you guys.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.